It's such a great pleasure to be together with you again. I accepted as a backhanded compliment some 6 or 8 months ago a statement made by one of our elders. He left my office one day and said, "So often in the building of a building, the congregation loses its preacher." And he said, "So during the time of our building, you just keep your mouth shut." And he said, "We want to keep you." So I thanked him, and I've tried to do that. I made one exception. I warned them strictly, "If you ruin our acoustics where we can't hear each other sing, I'm going to whip all of you." But he hasn't, and they didn't. I think the singing is excellent. The acoustics are acceptable, and you must be aware of it too. I think it's causing you to want to worship in song. There's nothing more discouraging, I think, for a congregation than to find itself locked into a situation where the singing is a discouragement instead of an encouragement. And there's nothing more encouraging, I think, than a congregation that genuinely worships in song. And I'm thankful that this congregation is such an encouragement to the leaders and to those who are visiting with us. You're a great encouragement, and I thank God for you. Today I want to tell you a parable of a demoniac. One day Jesus and his small company of men left the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, got in a boat, and went over to the west, to the eastern shore, and came to the country of the Gadarenes. Luke and Mark and Matthew, all three, remark that when he came to the other shore and got out on the land, there met him a man who was possessed with a legion of evil spirits. The man was naked. While he had been at home, he had been uncontrollable. They had put bonds and chains on him, but he had broken them and simply gone his way. He wouldn't stay at home. He was to be found out at all hours of the day and night, the scriptures say, yelling and screaming and crying day and night. And he was chasing around all through the desert places, but he wouldn't stay at home. This man, you would say, was totally uncontrollable. And yet here he came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, the Bible says that he fell upon his face, bowing down and worshiping Jesus. And yet at the same time that he was worshiping him, it says that he asked Jesus, "What do you have to do with me? Don't torment me." Because Jesus had commanded these evil spirits to come out of the man. Jesus finished his work, and the evil spirits did come out. And the man, it says, afterwards was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now you say, that's not a parable, is it? Is that not an actual event that took place in the life of Jesus? That's no parable. And you're right, that's not a parable. That is an actual event in the life of Jesus. As strange as it may appear in all of its details, it is strange. And yet it is an actual event in his life. It's recorded by both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Well, wherein lies the parable then? The parable lies in the fact that that Gadarene demoniac has a 20th century counterpart. Would you believe, and would you be offended if I were to say that the 20th century counterpart to the Gadarene demoniac can be found in you students? Would that offend you? Would you believe that that's precisely what I'm going to say this morning, that you're the counterpart for the Gadarene demoniac? You see, every year, as the resident members here in this congregation and the staff and faculty and administration of the school, as we get out on the shore of a new school year each year, we're met by a whole slew, a legion of you kids that we've never seen before. And you come to us with all amounts of evil spirits, poor attitudes, all of you possessing at least one, and many of you possessing many, and most of you possessing a great number of poor attitudes. You come here having come out of a background where you've been running wild. You come here having been in a home that you refuse to stay in. Your mothers and fathers have put bonds and chains on you. They've grounded you. You spent most of your years grounded. And yet you just break those things and go on your way, and you're to be found at home, when you are at home, rebelling against your parents. And you found yourself day and night running wild, yelling and crying and screaming. And instead of staying at home, you were to be found out running around through the deserted places and wherever you might desire to go. And you just went. You would be what they would call an uncontrollable person. And that's the way you came to us, many of you. We'd never seen you before. And we ask you, what is your name? And you just say, Legion. And that's about the way you come, as one great mass of people possessed by poor attitudes, evil spirits, and yet here you come. Yet you come to Jesus. That's why you're here. You come because of his influence that you believe is here. There's no other reason for you to be here. And you come actually coming to worship. And you sit attentively. And then during the year, you find yourself in repetitious worship, week after week. Meaningful, though repetitious, it is meaningful. And you find yourself bowing down before Jesus Christ, worshiping him. And yet, at the same time that you're worshiping, one of the first statements out of your mouth, whether it's verbal or just implied, one of the first ones is, Jesus, what have you got to do with me? What do you have on me? Why is it that you're making your appeal to me? Don't torment me. Or as we would say, don't bother me. And as you would say, don't bug me. Get off my back. What have you got to do with me? And so you find yourself in a sort of an inconsistency. You're coming here really seeking Jesus Christ. You find yourself worshiping. And yet, right at the very outset, you're asking, what is this thing that Jesus has on me? Why is he relevant to me? Somewhere along the line, hopefully, maybe not the first year, maybe not the second or the third or the fourth, but by the end of the fourth year, hopefully you will have had the evil spirits driven out of you and a new spirit replacing those evil spirits, those poor attitudes. The poor attitudes, as I said, are rebellion and resentment and reservation and those things that we hope in the meantime are going to be replaced by a spirit of cooperation, a spirit of genuine generosity, giving of yourself to other people. And we hope that, like this man, that in the process of your being here, you will also come to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in your right minds. That's what we hope for. There's a footnote to this parable. The footnote is the request that this demoniac made to Jesus. He said, "Let me remain with you." That request by the man is understandable. The man had now, for the first time in many years, come to be what he ought to be. Whereas before he was obsessed and possessed with these demons, these evil spirits, and he wasn't realizing his full potential in any stretch of the imagination. The man had now, through the influence of Jesus Christ, come to be what he ought to be. He had come to be that spiritually. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. He had come to be that physically. His body was now reflecting this spiritual trueness in his spirit. He was now clothed. And he also was that mentally and emotionally. He had come to be in his right mind. So you can understand why he would want to stay around Jesus. It was Jesus that had caused this great change in his life. And so he simply said, "Jesus, let me remain with you." He wanted to go around with the disciples. He wanted to stay with Jesus. And you can understand why. There are those of you who make the same request about this time of the year, especially those of you that are seniors. You find yourselves after 4 years, especially those of you who have been way out, those of you who've really been on the fringe area, and now you've come to your senses. You found yourself truly sitting at the feet of Jesus. You find yourself really and truly clothed and in your right minds. When graduation nears, so many of you have expressed to me, "I'm afraid to go. I'm afraid to leave. I want to stay here. I want to stay where this influence is." You see, because now for the first time you've come to be what you ought to be. Whereas at one time you had the poor attitudes and the evil spirits, because of the influence that's been brought to bear upon you here in this community, you're now a whole person. And you're well on your way to spiritual maturity. And I can understand why you'd want to stay. But listen to Jesus' reply. He said, "No." He sent him away, Luke says. He sent him away. He wouldn't let him stay. He was saying, in effect, "No, that's not best." You see, Jesus and his disciples in that setting was an unreal setting. It really wasn't lifelike. Oh, it was lifelike, really, but it was temporary. It wasn't intended to be permanent. Jesus was going to be there only a few weeks or months or years, at the very most 3 years. And so the man was asking to be a part of something that wasn't intended to be permanent. So Jesus said, "No, that's not best." Listen to what he said for him to do. He said, "You go back home. You go to your friends and tell them what great things God has done for you." And there you mentioned the very final test of discipleship. He sent him back into society. And I think how truly beautiful this whole arrangement and this whole description of this man's healing really is. You see, he had come to his spiritual right-mindedness whenever he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. His body reflected it as he was now clothed. And then his mind reflected it as he was in his right mind. His emotions were now sound and they were good. And now Jesus then making the fourth area of anybody's life, the social area also had to be taken care of. So he sent him back home. Discipleship really isn't complete until people get back out into society. This man was sent home to tell his friends and his family what great things God had done for him. The conclusion of this is simply this: the man did go back. The man went out and began to tell in all that city, it says. Mark records that he went out into the Decapolis, the 10-city area, a whole city, or 10-city complex in northern Galilee, and began to tell all the great things that Jesus Christ had done for him. That's what Jesus requires of you. Those of you who would want to stay here, you know what Jesus says to you? He says, "No, that's not really best. That's not what it's designed for. This isn't a real life situation here. It's kind of synthetic, really. It's not really what life is all about. This is a training ground. This community is a time for building you up. But the real test is when you go back out into the communities, back out into your homes, and back out where your friends are. You go back home and tell your friends and your family what God has done for you." Now, this man could go back and do that because of one thing. something had happened to him. He could go and tell it because the people to whom he was going could tell it. They could tell that something had happened. And it says that all men marveled at him. I want to ask you a question. Has anything happened to you during this year? Has anything happened to you during this year that would be out of the ordinary so that people can tell there's something different about that boy? There's something different about that girl? Are you going to go back home the same old, proud, irresponsible, rebellious, resentful person that you were when you came at the first of the year or 4 years ago? Has anything happened to you? If it has, then there'll be people who'll be able to tell it. And because they can tell that something has happened to you, you'll be able to tell it. And people are going to marvel at you. But if it hasn't happened to you, if nothing really has happened to change your life, if you've not been brought to the feet of Jesus, and if you've not been clothed and then placed again in your right mind, you're not going to be able to go back out into your friends or to your family and say much of anything to them. But young people, let me tell you something. If nothing has happened to you this year, you've missed a golden opportunity. Because I'm convinced, as well as I'm standing here today, the kingdom of God has come near you this year. The kingdom of God has come near to you this year. And if nothing has happened to you, it's because you've refused to come to Jesus. Perhaps even today, you want to do something about it. I wouldn't want to go home having had all the influence brought to bear upon me that has been brought to bear on you this year. I wouldn't want to go home if I were you, refusing to come to Jesus, refusing to sit at his feet, refusing to be clothed and put in your right mind. I wouldn't want to go home and bear that responsibility. Perhaps even today, you'd like to use this last Sunday morning service, for many of you, you'd like to use it to put yourself right with God. Perhaps you've been hearing all year about the divinity of Jesus Christ, about his lordship, and you've never surrendered to it. Your old will, your chains of pride and all, they've still got you bound. You couldn't get away from them. Why don't you come this morning? If you believe that he's the Son of God and would repent of your sins and turn your back upon selfishness and all of this that has so caused you to be out of your right mind, wouldn't you like to get rid of that? Wouldn't you like to be freed of it? Come and be baptized into Jesus Christ. Be buried with him. Let that old man of sin be buried with him. And let it be raised a new life. Those of you who are already Christians, perhaps there have been attitudes that have developed in your own mind over the year that haven't been right. Don't go away with them still bearing heavily upon you today. You come to Jesus Christ. Bow down before him. Let him cast out those evil spirits and let him then restore you to the proper place before him at his feet. Let him reclothe you with his own righteousness. Let him then restore you to your right mind so that you can go out to your family and friends and tell them what great things God has done for you this year. May God bless you. Will you come while we stand and sing?